Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here. I'm joined by Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Chicago-based Pro-Life Action League, recording this interview during the Pro-Life Action League's 19th annual Face the Truth Tour. Opponents of President Trump's choice for the Supreme Court are insisting that Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation will infringe on the health care decisions of women. They mean abortion. You say these pictures, these graphic photographs of aborted babies, tell a different story.
That's right. Abortion is not health care. And this has become a trope of the left, of the pro-abortion movement. They try to give legitimacy to this horrific injustice perpetrated on unborn children by calling it health care, because it's practiced by, in some cases, by physicians. And so, it's an effort to try to get around the reality of abortion, because the reality of abortion really destroys their argument. When you see what abortion is, when you talk about abortion with honesty, when you look at what abortion does to the unborn child and what abortion does to those who choose it so often, filling them with, years of guilt and shame and unhappiness, then you see a different story. You see that abortion is not health care, that in fact abortion is harmful to women, it's harmful to families, it's harmful to our country. An unborn child is not, for example, a tumor. So abortion is absolutely not health care. But that's what these signs show. When you see the reality of abortion, it's hard to keep that line of propaganda going. The Hippocratic Oath, in fact, going back to ancient Greece, includes a vow not to provide any medicines that would cause an abortion. So from ancient times, even pagan society recognized that abortion is not a legitimate health care at all.
Has the opposition to what you're doing in the Face the Truth Tour increased this time out because of the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the High Court?
Oddly enough, it hasn't. We really expected this year to see a lot more hostility, a lot more, vocal opposition to our presence with these signs showing the reality of abortion. But we haven't actually seen that, with one exception. That would be down at Madison and Wacker in downtown Chicago, where a group called Refuse Fascism was there protesting in advance of the Brett Kavanaugh nomination announcement that evening. And so they were very vocal, they were very obnoxious. They were actually helping us because they turned off the people who were passing by to their message. They were so just ranting over a bullhorn and talking about fascism and speaking all kinds of craziness. I think it actually helped to make us look like the reasonable and respectful civil people that we are, in contrast to them. But otherwise, we haven't really seen much opposition, contrary to what we expected with this Supreme Court nomination.
Well, are the volunteers, folks who are part of Face the Truth, more energized because of this nomination?
They really are. To have this opportunity to truly transform the tenor of the Supreme Court and move it in a more constitutional direction, a more conservative direction, we believe a more pro-life direction, that's really a golden opportunity. But honestly, the volunteers are more fired up about the kinds of things that we saw, for example, yesterday when we were in Arlington Heights. A woman came by and told us that that morning her daughter had driven past our signs and decided to cancel an abortion that she had planned. It was going to be her second abortion. It's once you've had one abortion, it's a lot easier to get a second one. So to be able to dissuade a woman from getting a second abortion simply by showing these pictures, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And that really is what fires up our people. We really want to stop abortion today, not in some future day when we're able to finally overturn Roe versus Wade and then take this battle state by state. If we can save a life from abortion today, for that baby, Roe versus Wade was overturned today.
How confident are you that Brett Kavanaugh, as a Supreme Court justice, will rule fairly on the life issue?
Well, we have no guarantees in a case like this because of the way that these kind of confirmation battles have unfolded over the years, going back to Robert Bork. And it's become a verb now, borking somebody out of nomination. It's become a kind of almost an Alice through the looking glass situation where these judicial nominees have to avoid the issue that everybody wants them to talk about. To the extent that they do that, they're able to get through with the nomination. So I admire a judge like Neil Gorsuch or Brett Kavanaugh, who has been very wise and kept their feelings close to the vest. That said, we know where he comes from. He's a devout Catholic. We know that he has served with the Federalist Society, a group that is renowned for having a constitutionalist view, a strict reading of the Constitution, as actually organized and designed by the framers of our government. And so while there are no guarantees, I have no reason to doubt that he would be an excellent jurist and somebody who would very fairly consider not only the rights of the unborn child, but the rights of pro-life activists and of religious people. The issue of civil rights and religious liberty has become increasingly important. We're seeing that not just on abortion, but on many issues, on health care, on marriage, on other things. So we have every reason to believe that he would be a justice that we could go before with some confidence that our voices will be heard.
Would you have preferred someone else to have been nominated?
No, I think Brett Kavanaugh is an excellent choice. I was also very excited about Amy Barrett. She sounds like an amazing person. I mean, she's got a big family. I'm always really sympathetic to that. I've got 8 kids myself. I believe she has 7 children, including 2 adopted children. She would have been a wonderful nominee. But I know that she's also, she's not off the list. You know, she's somebody who could be nominated in the future. And everything I'm hearing from my contacts in Washington is very positive about Brett Kavanaugh. So I feel very excited about this nomination.
Well, speaking about free speech and religious liberty, where do you think Brett Kavanaugh would come down if a case would reach the high court on this bubble zone in Chicago?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because the other justice we were hearing about, Amy Barrett, actually is sitting on the 3-judge panel that is hearing our case against the Chicago bubble zone. And we were expecting a ruling from them sometime soon on our most recent appeal. Based on the hearing back in February, we feel pretty confident about the way that ruling will go. There's every chance in the world, though, that case will make its way to the Supreme Court. So this isn't just a theoretical question for us. It's a real possibility that Brett Kavanaugh will be ruling on this. Now, we can't know for certain. We don't have any crystal ball on this. And no responsible justice would say in advance what they're going to rule on a particular case, because they need to see the actual principles of law that are presented and what the case is. I mean, there's a lot of misunderstanding there. Sometimes people look only at the end ruling and not at the reasons for it in a case like this. An incompetent case can be presented that doesn't give a justice who wants to rule with a particular side the opportunity to do so. That said, we have excellent attorneys working on this case. And based on Brett Kavanaugh's other rulings as a judge in the D.C. Circuit on religious liberty, we would expect a very fair hearing.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Chicago-based Pro-Life Action League, after this.
Hello, I'm David Smith, the executive director of Illinois Family Institute, a state-based Christian pro-life and pro-family public policy organization. I want to invite you to join us as we seek to be salt and light to a dark and rapidly decaying culture. You can do that in a number of ways. For example, you can join our email list to get timely alerts and great cultural commentaries. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, listen to our podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can attend one or more of the special events and forums we host in different parts of the state. We do all these things to encourage and equip Christians in Illinois. You see, we need you to help us fulfill our mission to boldly bring a biblical perspective to public policy. Our faith requires us to be bold, speak truthfully, and love our neighbors. Join us. Visit IllinoisFamily.org to learn more. Again, that is IllinoisFamily.org.
This is Albert Moeller for Townhall.com. A group of liberal Christians is calling for a pause in the culture wars. This call to pause is really a demand for evangelical surrender on the issue of abortion, and that's not going to happen. Interestingly, it was the left in American politics that politicized the judiciary, going around the legislative process to force vast moral change through the courts. They understand exactly what is at stake as we look at the nomination of a strict constructionist justice to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy. The nomination of Supreme Court justices who are committed to the actual words and text of the Constitution is vital to the survival of America's grand experiment in constitutional self-government. The protection of human life is an even higher mandate. This is no time to hit the pause button. I'm Albert Moeller.
Thanks once again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurick, joined by Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Chicago-based Pro-Life Action League. We're recording during the 19th annual Face the Truth Tour. The Pro-Life Action League volunteers lining Chicago area streets with graphic color photographs of aborted babies to tell folks who pass by about what abortion is really all about. And we're recording right now at 159th Street and LaGrange in Orland Park. Eric, we talked about the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court ruled recently favorably for pregnancy care centers in California that they do not have to give referrals for abortions, etc. This is a law similar to what we have in Illinois, something that Governor Rauner signed into law. The courts have held it up from enforcement, but could that law in Illinois be overturned as a result of what the high court said about California's law?
I don't see any way that the Supreme Court or some lower court wouldn't ultimately have to overturn the Illinois law, HB 1564, that Governor Rauner sadly signed a couple years ago, based on the arguments that were presented in this NIFLA case, is what it's called. The argument of the court that you cannot force citizens to engage in a type of speech that they don't want to, that they don't believe in. It's a strong argument. It's an argument that certainly does apply. That said, we don't really expect Attorney General Lisa Madigan to see it that way. So we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to keep fighting for it in Illinois to get that law overturned. But we feel confident that there's no way that ruling doesn't apply to Illinois as well and to any other state where they may have a similar type of a law enacted or maybe considering enacting such a law. So it was a tremendous victory and one that's going to have an impact right here in our home state. That said, it is troubling that it was only a 5-4 ruling. About 4 years ago, there was a 9-0 unanimous ruling against a buffer zone around abortion facilities in Massachusetts that was preventing pro-lifers from engaging in consensual speech outside of abortion clinics, talking about alternatives and offering women an opportunity to change their minds before they go through with abortion. To see a change in 4 years where now four justices are willing to force pro-lifers to engage in a particular kind of speech, that's troubling. It really just underscores the need for a reform in the Supreme Court, the kind of reform that I believe Brett Kavanaugh will bring. So it ties back into this nomination process and this confirmation process for Brett Kavanaugh to be really secure in our First Amendment rights to not only to speak what we believe, but not to be forced to talk about things we don't believe in. That's really, we must remain vigilant.
We say remain vigilant and we have to fight this. What can just regular folks do to fight this law that's still in place in Illinois? Beyond the attorneys, what can just regular people do?
Well, you can lend your financial support to the attorneys who are fighting this battle, the Thomas More Society in Chicago that is fighting for the rights of pro-life activists. So that's one thing we can do. Letting your voices be heard by Senators Duckworth and Durbin, even though we know that both of them are staunchly pro-abortion, we have no expectation that we can change their minds. But it is helpful for them to know that Illinois is not all pro-abortion. And in fact, there are many pro-life people in our state. But perhaps more importantly, reach out to your friends in neighboring states where there's a real chance that we can influence the process. Joe Donnelly, next door in Indiana, is a Democrat who did vote for Neil Gorsuch in his confirmation battle, and one who is in a state that President Trump, who made this nomination, actually won. So there's a real opportunity to influence there. Missouri is another one where we have a Republican senator who, is pro-choice, but will go along with us if we can put enough pressure there. So reach out to your friends in other states to call their senators to insist that they confirm Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, we have disturbing news about the impact of HB 40 in Illinois. This is the bill that the Democrats passed in the legislature and Governor Rauner signed into law, forces taxpayers to fund elective abortions. We're hearing, as predicted, that the rate of increase of abortions in Illinois is rapidly rising. You have to be concerned about that.
This was exactly what we feared, what we knew would happen. Previously in Illinois, before we enacted the reforms that prevented state taxpayer funds from going for abortions, Illinois was paying for thousands of abortions a year, and exactly as predicted, that's happening here too. So this is not just a question of taking a burden off of poor women by paying for something for them. this is a question of actually increasing abortion. Once abortion is paid for by the state, abortion rates go up, and they go up a lot because of HB 40 and because of Governor Rauner's horrific betrayal, his bald-faced lie to the people about this. He has absolutely lost the support of the pro-life community, and I believe he will lose his office because of that signing. That's a cold comfort for the unborn children who are going to die because of that law. But I hope it will be a message to the Republican Party in Illinois and in other states that if you kick the pro-lifers out of your coalition, you will not be able to govern.
But with that law, doesn't it say that we need to elect more pro-life conservatives in the legislature who will defund the measure, the appropriations?
Yeah, absolutely. The need for a reform through the electoral process in the General Assembly is tremendous. It's tough, though, in this state. Our House of Representatives is very pro-life. We have a very pro-life, amongst Republicans, we have a very pro-life Republican caucus in the Senate as well. It's those other battleground districts where we have a chance to maybe pick off some of those more pro-choice Democrats. You know, we wish that there were some pro-life Democrats who would join us, but that's a dying breed in this state.
Is it your hope, though, that with some gains in the legislature that you can go after the appropriations for House Bill 40?
Well, we're trying to fight this on every level we can to change the constitution of the the makeup, I should say, of the legislature so that we're able to stop, if we can't overturn the bill, we can at least stop any funding going to it. We're also doing this through the judicial process as well. We've got a lawsuit going against HB 40. So we're going at this at all angles. Taxpayer funding of abortion is not popular, not even in a blue state like Illinois. And that said, it's one of only, of many, many issues that are out there of concern to voters. So we have to keep talking to our friends and neighbors about this. Many people don't even know that Illinois is now paying for abortions and that means more abortion in our state. So we have an education challenge ahead of us. So sharing this truth with our friends and neighbors, using resources like Illinois Family Institute's many resources and facts and figures on a case like this, situation like this, is very important.
Well, House Bill 40 not only funded taxpayer-funded abortion in Illinois, but it also codified Roe versus Wade in Illinois. And opponents of Judge Kavanaugh are saying that he's going to overturn Roe versus Wade, and they're saying it'll be up to the states, but here in Illinois, it will be the law.
Nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know what the future might hold for Roe versus Wade. Many experts believe that we will never really see an outright overturning of that horrible ruling and its companion ruling, Doe versus Bolton, that made abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy in all 50 states. That said, we may well see the Supreme Court allowing greater and greater restriction of abortion. That's not our ultimate goal. We're disappointed if we can't save every single child from abortion, but it's an important step. It's critical, because as long as abortion is so deeply entrenched in our society, we're never going to be able to get rid of it. The only way to wrench it out of our society is to gradually decrease the number of abortions. I'd like to do it immediately, but that's not, really something that seems realistic in our time. So it's going to be a gradual process of chipping away and chipping away and bringing that abortion number down, 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 to the point that not so many people have their own lives and the lives of their friends and family invested in abortion in some way. So that's a big part of it. But another key part of this battle is, doing what we can to transform the culture. We are not reliant on the judiciary. We're not reliant on the media. We're not reliant on the politicians. Every one of us can make a difference on this issue by educating our friends and neighbors, by talking. Don't be afraid to talk about abortion. Don't be afraid to let your fellow churchgoers know that you care. And if you do care, get active. I'm sorry, but it's not enough just to stay at home and say a few prayers or go to church and say a few prayers. Prayers are very powerful, but Jesus told us to take up our cross and walk with him, not just to stay safely at home and quietly pray to the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to be walking that walk, and his walk is a tough one. Take up your cross. And for us today, that cross means holding these signs out on a busy street in the hot sun, showing the reality of abortion. This does more than we even know to change the culture, to educate people about abortion so that they can't go through with it. Sometimes people see these pictures and it doesn't change their mind politically. They still believe that abortion should be legal, but they also believe they could never go through with it themselves. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do here, to save lives, regardless of the political questions that do occupy so much of our attention.
Eric, how can folks come alongside the Pro-Life Action League and your work?
Visit us at prolifeaction.org. Visit us on Facebook at Pro-Life Action. See us on Twitter, find out what we're doing. You can contribute to financially to our mission at prolifeaction.org. You can find out where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing next. If you're not in the Chicago area, we'd love to get you involved in your own local community doing this kind of direct action that saves lives today and doesn't wait for the day that may never come that the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade.
Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Chicago-based Pro-Life Action League during the Face the Truth tour in Orland Park. And thank you folks for tuning in. Till next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.